This morning, I am preaching from this passage in 2 Thessalonians. It starts in chapter 2 and ends in chapter 3. The passage came to me when about a month or two back, when just around the time that we announced to you that we would be leaving Karori. And I thought, wow, what an amazing passage. And it expresses my feelings to you in so many ways. And it got me thinking about our time here in Karori. It's been amazing and such a privilege and such an honor to be part of your lives over the last 19 years. We've been through spiritual journeys with you that have led you from the beginning to where you are now. We've seen growth. We've seen lives touched. We've seen difficult times navigated with confidence and faith. We've seen good times. We've had lots of laughter. We've had lots of blessings over the last 19 years. Really, very privileged to have been there with you. And so it's with a great sense of humility, gratitude, and awe that I stand before you and offer you my thoughts on this passage today. Now, I just need to put in a disclaimer there. When you go home and read through the passage again, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. Just remember, I'm not Paul and I don't claim to be. And I didn't command you to say, to do things like he said here, and etc., etc. But the bits that I'm picking out are the bits that I want to share with you. So please don't get me wrong. I'm not being arrogant here. But there's a truth that every Christian needs to know, and they need to hear it time and time and time and time again. And every child from birth all the way up to senility, and even then, they need to hear it again and again and again. And that message is, God loves you. The passage said, and as for you, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. That's all of you. Loved by the Lord. Now you're going to roll your eyes now and say, oh gosh, we've heard this all before. Yes, you have. Lots of times. But I'm giving it to you again because it's such an amazing message. Bishop Desmond Tutu in South Africa was preached all over the country to all sorts of audiences and all sorts of age groups and everywhere. But his favorite message, and he tried to bring it into everything that he did and said, was, now, it, not just the words, but it's the gestures as well. He'd look you in the eye. And if you were sitting over there and he was looking over there, it still felt as though he was looking you in the eye. And he'd put his hands together like this. And he would say, God loves you. And somehow it resonated and it stuck in my heart every time I heard him. I don't know if it was his tone or his eyes or what it was. But it's stuck in my head. And over the years, God has shown me time and time and time again that he loves me. It's the foundation for our faith. We cannot believe in a God who sent Jesus to die on the cross for us unless we know he did it because he loves us. When I was teaching the story of Christ, of the creation to our 3 and 4 year olds at the early childhood center, I asked, why did they think God made people? And one little four-year-old who has no church background at all said, it's because he needed someone to love. And folk, you're it. You are the one God wants to love. And God does love. And in verse 15, it goes on to say, with all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on this truth. Being grounded and rooted in God's love affects who we are. It affects how we live our lives, who we become, and how we relate to others. And it gives us a sense of security. In verse 16, it says, who loved us, God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope. What's not to be excited about? God gives us comfort. And more than that, he gives us eternal hope. Life sucks sometimes. Life is hard. Things come at us from all angles. But we have hope. We have security. Because God loves us. Each of us. We're not perfect. But he still loves us. We make mistakes. But he still loves us. I could bring up the analogy of a parent loving their child. But one that's closer to home for me at the moment is my cat, Watson. Watson is a very cuddly creature, and she loves to sit on my lap and just lie there and be stroked and be loved. And I love it when she does that because I kind of feel when she rubs against me, I feel that she loves me. Is cats, so I don't really know, but let's just forget that for now. This is a sermon illustration. It doesn't have to be correct. But yeah, and we have our little routine that when I shower in the morning, when I brush my teeth, she comes into the bathroom, she jumps up into the washstand, and she waits for me to rub my face against hers, because that's just how we do it. And we love each other. And I get really miffed when she doesn't come in because I want to know that I'm loved. And so even though we don't pray as often as we feel we should, we don't snuggle up to God and enjoy his company, we don't say, God, I love you, he still loves us. It doesn't matter. God loves us. God's love isn't just a feeling, although that's great when we can feel God's love. And it's not just something that we know in our heads. God's love is a deep knowing. It's a knowing that goes from here to here, the longest journey in history, from our heads to our heart. God's love, we need to know within, deep within, that we are loved, because we're not always going to feel it. And things are going to shake our ideas. And unless we know deeply that God loves us, we're going to flounder. But the best thing of all is that God doesn't only love you and you and you and you and me. He loves us, the church. He loves us as a body, as a group, as a his beloved followers. He loves us as a community, not just as an individual. In John chapter 17, Jesus in the garden, he prays for us. He prays for us, you. And he says, I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That, my friend, is you and me. Jesus himself prayed for you and for me. And what did he pray? That we will be one, just as he and his Father are one. Wow. He wants us to love him and to love one another as God loved Jesus and as Jesus loved God. Wow. This love that God wants us to wallow in and to enjoy and to lay back in and whatever you want to do in it, just enjoy it. It's not only for us. A love like that has to be shared. And in chapter 3, verse 5, he says, "May the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression of the love of God. From this foundation of love that we have comes grace, comes gratitude, comes generosity." And how do we show this? How do we let this love flow? It's an easy one. Through grace, showing grace to one another. When we make mistakes, when we hurt one another, when we fail, when we let each other down, it's showing grace, knowing that God loves me. It doesn't matter what other people think about me. It's God's view of me that's important. So we show people grace. And we're grateful for the things that people do for us. We're grateful for the way that God shows us his love, that other people show us God's love. And we're generous with God's love. We're generous with our time, our money, with loving one another. And this love endures, or as Ian said, persists. In chapter 3, verse 5 again, it says, "And we are confident," chapter 3, verse 5, here we go. "May the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression of the love of God and the patient endurance or persistence that comes from Christ." Love endures. Christ's life is our example, is our pattern for living. Firstly, he knew he was loved by God. He knew who he was in God. He's God's beloved son, and so are we. When we put aside all the hats that we wear, the mother, the CEO, the whatever you are, tea lady, whatever you are, once we put all that aside and it's just God and you, who are you then? You are God's beloved child. And Jesus knew this. He knew where he was going. He knew about the journey he had to go. And he knew that there was an end in sight. He was going back to the Father. And he did what he needed to stay on track. What did he do? He prayed regularly. We often read of Jesus going off to pray. He prayed, checked in with God, made sure that he was on the right track, and he obeyed. It was so cool. I wrote that down. I thought, hey, that rhymes. Prayed, obeyed. It's easy to remember. Sorry. I enjoy little things. Jesus prayed, and then he did what God told him to do. And the last thing that he did, or not the last thing, but the other thing he did to stay on track was that he kept his eye on the bigger picture. He kept his eye on God's plan. He kept looking forward. And yes, there were people around him saying, Jesus, don't go to Jerusalem. Oh, Pharisees are going to kill you. And he put up with all sorts of rubbish. But he kept his eye on the bigger picture. And that's what God calls us to do. It's not all about me. It's all about God. It's all about his picture, his plan. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. If we look around, we fall because people disappoint us. People let us down. Sometimes we feel God lets us down. There's so much happening. Life sucks sometimes. I think I might have said that before. But God's love is there to keep us consistent. Keep your eyes on your calling, on your God who loves you so much. I know a number of people who have left the church because of things that have been said to them, disappointments, people letting them down. My brother was one of them. And it breaks my heart to know that for 17 years, he was without a family, that he turned his back on God because a bunch of people let him down. My dad always used to say to us as kids, keep your eyes on Jesus. Remember that the church is a school for sinners, not a museum for saints. Remember that. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And be part of the answer to Jesus' prayer for you, that we may be one, as he and his Father are one. That Jesus and us and we, each other, are one in Jesus. It's the bigger picture. It's not about me. It's about God's love that is so amazing we can wallow in it. It's about that love that overflows from us, that love that endures. And so I want to say to you, enjoy the journey. There are way too many sour-faced Christians in this world. We don't need any more. Enjoy it. God loves you, people. That's something worth smiling about. It's something worth rejoicing in. And just, I can't get it across enough. I just want you to love him and to know that you're loved. And let his love overflow from you because other people need to have that love. They need to know what they're missing out on. They need to know that God loves them too. And holding on to the end, enduring, persisting, that persistence, that endurance that comes from knowing who we are and from Christ's enduring love. So just a little exercise for you to start off on this journey of wallowing in God's love. Each evening before you go to bed, look at the day, right from the beginning, right to the end, and see the ways God has shown you his love. Might be as simple as being able to get out of bed in the morning. It might be somebody who said something to you that meant a lot to you. It might be a tui singing in the tree when you went to hang out your washing. Might be a beautiful sunset. Whatever it is, these are moments that God shows us his love. We don't often recognize them, but when we look back over the day, we see, oh, actually, God loves me. He did that for me. He showed me that little flower that's hidden in amongst the rocks in my garden. I'm probably the only person to ever see it. God loves me because he showed that to me. He made that for me. God loves me. Spend time with him. Just sit on his lap in his company. He loves that, just like I love Watson sitting on my lap. Only God's love is so much bigger. See the ways that God's love has overflowed from you. Now, this is not a self-centered thing to do. This is encouragement. This is looking out over the day and saying, oh, yeah, I told somebody this. I did something for somebody. I baked a cake. I bought them a chocolate. Whatever it is. God is just dying for you to share that love with someone else. In however small a way, he wants you to do it. And then once you've identified these ways that God's love has overflowed from you, then rejoice and give thanks to God. Because you're great. And God knows that. He's your champion. And he'll be shouting for you. Yay! And then, just as you're drifting off to sleep, ask God for more enduring love that'll keep you strong, that'll keep you secure through the stormy times, the hard times, and the good times. So I just want to read these verses for you as I end off. With all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on this truth we passed on to you. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. And may the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression of the love of God and the patient endurance that comes from Christ.